ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविनिविषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 153. Prahlad Maharaj continued. In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert? Or, in other words, where is happiness in this material world? As for this body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well. But, nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain. But because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires, and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. 25-27. Srila Prabhupada comments.
What does it mean, no distinction between the lower and higher desires? In the sense
of desire? It means someone wants a coconut or someone wants, you know, a kilo of saffron. Does the desire tree make a distinction? Srila Prabhupada comments. If one is inclined to dictate that the Lord grant something, one receives benedictions according to his desire. One wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, the heavenly planets, he can be promoted to the place he desires. If the one wants to remain a hog or a pig on earth, the Lord fulfills that desire also. Therefore, one's position is determined by one's desires. The Lord is not responsible for the higher or lower grades of our existence. Right? He has his existence, how he deals, how he lives. So that's how we define higher and lower. It means what's closer to his standard is higher, what's farther from his standard, that's lower. Right? So that's how it's defined. But the point is, it's his standard. So then it's just to see, so the point is therefore, that's how things are. So then with us, then he reciprocates with us according to our standard. So if our standard is his standard, then you have community there with the Lord. And if our standard is not the Lord's standard, then you end up with something less, but it's still within the Lord's creation. Right? In other words, you're taking elements that are of higher grade, but putting them together in ways that, you know, don't come out so great, because, you know, does that make sense? But our interest in material variety, then it may address something there, but it doesn't mean that it addresses the actual need of the soul, right? So the soul's conditioned thinking of who they think they are, it'll address that. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. Doesn't make sense. Like you're hungry, you eat, but that doesn't mean that's fulfilling the need of the soul. You know, so when the need of the soul is doing things connected with Krishna, then all these things become reconciled. So eating goes on, but now it's all connected to Krishna. So it's all what's what Krishna, you know, likes. But otherwise, then, you know, what we may end up eating is, you know, up for debate. Does that make sense? Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes." So this is taking it a step further. We always talk about the blind well of material existence. Wow. And now it's the blind well of material existence full of snakes.
I was okay with the well.
The well, I got my helmet, you know, like that. You know. Okay, he fell into I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. Right, but the populace never talks about the snakes. Or
no, that's...
But your servant Narad Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Right? So that's the point. We come in contact with Krishna consciousness through the grace of the spiritual master. Right? And we have the... So that's the first point of duty. That's our connection. That's the first point. Then other things after that. Because, yes, living in the blind well, which snakes you like, which ones you don't like, you know, like that kind of thing, that's going to go on, that's going to change. You know, you don't like the blind well you're in, don't worry. Next life you'll have a new blind well. Right? Like that. So, you know, instead of, you know, Howard, it'll be Edmund is the snake that bothers you. Right? You know, so that will all change. But the point is that this doesn't, because that makes it an eternal connection to Krishna. That's the actual most important thing. You have a connection to the Lord, you can understand your transcendental position. That's the highest position. That's the most important. So, yes.
But here, Prahlad Maharaj, he says it in connection to what the Lord offered him. So he couldn't accept his benediction because he was obliged to his spiritual master.
Yes, but what were those benedictions he offered? The best blind well with the maximum amount of snakes he could ever hope for.
No,
he was saying because dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. He offered those because that's what everybody wants. So he was simply trying to, you know, fulfill that kind of desire in the best way possible. But he's saying no. He said he's committed to, you know, the service of the Lord. How does he know the Lord? He knows the Lord through his spiritual master. So. Yes.
So is the difference here then, we can see, because Dhruva, once he saw the Lord, he didn't want anything, but he got it anyway. So does this show that Prahlad Maharaj didn't even want anything to begin with?
No, he didn't want anything to begin with.
Right.
And he got it anyway.
Right.
So he never had any anxiety, because Dhruva had anxiety, then seeing the Lord, he gave up that anxiety, right. But he got those things anyway.
Right.
But he went through all that anxiety. Well, Prahlad Maharaj is always absorbing Krishna consciousness, and he got it all anyway. You know. So the point is that it's that the Lord is the most valuable. Mm-hmm. Whether one's getting facilities or not, that's not noticed, or that's not important to the devotee. That's not a prominent. You know, it comes along as a matter of what do you call it? Course.
Yeah.
You know. All the snakes have jewels on their heads. So you can see in the blind well.
So it's blindish well.
Yeah, blindish. Yeah. Oh, actually, the jewels are quite bright. The whole lower planetary system
is
lit by the seven talas, so two of those talas the snakes are on, so all those seven talas are lit by the light.
So the well's blind, but once you get in there, you can see.
Yeah, it's like
that's
that.
Nice.
Blind refers to not being able to see it from above.
Yeah.
got it.
But I also think when you get down to the bottom, it's pretty blind also.
That's awful.
Yes. Yes. Srila Prabhupada comments, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narad Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava, right? Because the devotee, we're always serving the spiritual master. Otherwise, how do we have a relationship with the Lord? If we have a relationship with the Lord, okay, nice, but when it's through someone else, it has more of a flavor. Yes.
We have to make sure we always have some sort of authority in our spiritual life. Because, you know, spiritual
yes,
master,
yes, that's there.
You know,
yes, there. That's just the mechanics of how it would work.
Yeah.
But I was talking here in the matter of relationship. Just like the relationship with the son and the father is quite nice, but with the grandfather and grandson is even more sweet, right? It's more accommodating. Why? Because of the relationship with the father.
Yeah.
You understand? So this idea that the direct relationship for us is the better. No, it's through the devotee that's actually better.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the position.
Yeah.
So that's how it is with everybody. All all the varieties of living entities in the spiritual world, they're all serving the Lord through the devotee. Right? There's no one who's not doing that. Right? Everyone's serving through Lakshmi or through Radharani, through Rukmini. It's like this. No one's serving directly. Does that make sense? And everyone says, well, what about Radharani? But she's a Sarup Shakti. She's non-different from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhupada gives the example of like the child playing with their reflection in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're interacting with themselves. You know, and so then we're serving that person. Right? So in other words, or you want to look at another thing, the devotee serves Krishna. Everybody else serves the devotee. Right, so Radharani is the one and only devotee, and every other living entity assists in serving there.
Instrument.
We're always instrument, because he is the subjective, she's the objective. We're always the instrumental. There's no other option. Right, it's not that we'll become something else. You know, we're not the cause. We're not the results. You know, we're not the place.
No.
You know, the center of the universe. Yes. Yeah, I'm the locative.
Yes.
like that. No. It's just, we're not. That doesn't work.
Maharaj, technically, we can only approach Krishna through our spiritual master. Everything else is sahaji.
Any other way of approaching, it would be sahaji or impersonalism or something like that. Because if we think we're the devotee, that means we think we're one with the devotee, so that means it's impersonalism. So that's what's not understood, is the sahaja's desire to directly serve the Lord, like that is actually impersonalism. Because they replace the devotees, so then how is that spiritual? Yeah. So basically there's unsentimental Mayavadis and there's sentimental Mayavadis. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. Srila Prabhupada comments, the Lord can fulfill many purposes through one action. Thus, the killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad were enacted simultaneously to prove the truthfulness of the Lord's devotee and the fidelity of the Lord himself to his own purpose. The Lord acts only to satisfy the desires of his devotees. Otherwise, he has nothing to do. Right? You could say, no, but he came to establish religion. But material energy can do that. Right? Why will people be more religious? What mode needs to be prominent?
Goodness.
Goodness. Okay. Now people become irreligion. What irreligious? What modes become prominent? Right? Passion, ignorance. Like this. So, simply people becoming more religious or less religious is simply the modes of nature. Right? Krishna himself doesn't have to come do that. Right? Killing the demon, everyone's going to die anyway. Have you ever heard that the mortality rate is not 100%? Right? Is there anybody in history who did not die? Right? Okay. Yeah. So, that means everybody goes. So, Hiranyakashipu is going to die anyway. Right? Yeah. So, interacting with the devotee, that's the real purpose of the Lord's coming. Right? Because that he does as Vasudev. Establishing the religious principles, that he does as Sankarshan. Killing the demons is Sankarshan. The Vasudev, then that is what he's doing. That's what's special. That's what's unique. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Pralad Maharaj continued, "My dear Lord, you alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation, for you existed before the creation. You exist after the annihilation, and you are the maintainer between the beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature." And so she's taking care of everything. It means it's under his sanction and his potency, but she manages it. So that's the unique thing, is that if Krishna has nothing to do, and the only point is interacting, pleasing the devotee, so then what devotee is qualified to interact with him? Right? The devotee who also has nothing to do, and whose only interest is serving the Lord. So nothing to do doesn't mean you don't do anything, like we see Krishna does things. But it's not that's what he has to do, that's the need. Mm-hmm. Krishna's need is not to come and make things run nicely. His need is to interact with the devotees. So when our need is to please the Lord, and just as a matter of consequence, we perform our duties. Right? That just happens. Because that's, what else are you going to do? Yes. Right? But, so, that's the whole point. So for the Lord, he's doing his duties, but it's an expression of his affection for the devotee. So that means the devotee, they perform their duties as an expression of their affection for Krishna. That's the kind of position. Then you're friends with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So punishing the demons, the modes can do that. Re-establishing the principles of religion, can the modes do that?
All they have to do is that goodness comes up, people get faith. But the point is they have religion is on what platform of consciousness?
Someone may come, not Lord himself, for establishing religion.
No, but the point is that simply you adjust the modes, people become religious, or they become irreligious. Because religion is simply the acceptance of that how the world works is according to what the Shastra says. So if you follow the Shastra, then things go nicely.
Manamoy.
Yeah, it's just manamoy. That's all the more it is. And from the Shastra, then you can understand Vigyanamoy. But Anandamoya, that you have to get from the devotees. Does that make sense? But the process is still there. Even to understand the Shastra and everything, you still approach the teacher. Now, whether he's material or spiritual, but the point is you gain that material knowledge, you can gain that from a material teacher and learn how to do that quite nicely. But the thing that you have to get from without that is the spiritual master. That, then, only you can know what's beyond.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm.
Yeah. Therefore, whatever exists externally and internally is you alone. Right? So, what you see is Krishna, and why it works is Krishna.
Mm.
Right? What you see is made out of the elements. Specifically earth, otherwise hard to see all the other things. The earth element is there, so then we're able to appreciate. And then, but at the same time as it functions, that's his internal potency. That's the transformation of the internal potency. Right? So the existence of things are him, and the action and results of things are him.
That's
Jnana
and Kriya?
Yes, the Jnana and Kriya. Because the point is he's there, it's his desire to, as I mentioned before, that the living entities elevate themselves. That's Krishna's desire, that's the Icha. Then you have the Kriya and Jnana that perform the activities and the knowledge on how you can elevate yourself. Right? So that comes in the form of karma, jnana, and bhakti. So if someone's attracted to bhakti, then they would function on that platform. But if not, then jnana, if not, then karma. And then get themselves to bhakti. Yes.
There's a popular stream right now in Moscow, they're called Kriya Yogis. And they're able to somehow quickly come to some platform of nirvana, and they are chanting some strange mantras, and then technically even devotees who were born in devotees' families, they get swept by it, because you can instantly come to some kind of transcendence, they call it, or something. So technically, would we say that they're attracted to it because they get quick result of something?
It's just a different... as we mentioned before, is that the karmis and jnanis, they each have their, how you say? Weak strength and weakness, right? And so then within that, then we have the specific, you know, regional kind of flavor of karma and jnana. And so then, since in that part of the world, then attraction to the mystical, that must be wonderful. So they are just able to talk in a way that appears that there's some mystical thing going on. And so those who want to be cheated, then they get something.
But it's because they don't see the bhakti process is more esoteric than that, because it's able
But who's explained it to them? You understand? Devotees are busy explaining Ayurveda and astrology. Who's explaining Vedanta and psychology?
Psychology.
But even that's not mundane. They're not really getting into that. So who's explaining? So they think metaphysical, I mean, is up here. So since there's an attraction for the metaphysical, but they only take it there, which are gross. No one actually gets into the actual. Is anybody explaining Shankya there? I know there's a little ashram in Moscow where a bunch of brahmacharis hang out, and one sannyasi. They discuss these things. And that's what, 15 people out of how many tens of thousands? You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. So if anything looks like it gets something immediate, then, yeah, people who want something cheap can get distracted.
I'm more freaked out by chanting some Shiva mantras and Rudrakshas, and then that would get you out. But then I'm like, the Maha Mantra is much more powerful than that.
That's there. That's why you're not doing this. But they think it's, oh, it's different. They take it that the devotional service, that's ordinary and standard. And now this is something new and unique. But if you're in India, it's kind of like, you know, getting Rudrakshas at a holy place, that's a dime a dozen. But you want to find some nice Tulsi beads, you have to actually go out of your way and find them. But in the West, we, the devotees, have made the devotional things quite easily available. And then along comes someone with some Rudrakshas. And I guarantee you those are really cheap Rudrakshas. You can buy them by sackfuls over here. Right? And so therefore, then they're all, you know, woo. You know what I'm saying? It's like that with anything. You know, it's like you have over there devotees that have a computer, and by that they connect it up, and then they're going to fix your diseases. No? Yeah. The guy's Russian. You know? Yeah. It's all happening over there. You know, Americans go for something a little bit more, what do you call it?
Tangible.
Something tangible, like snake oil or something. You know, you can see it, you can put a nice label on it, you know. Yeah.
Australia's goanna oil.
Huh?
Goanna oil.
Goanna oil. In Australia.
Australia. Big lizard.
Oh. So he was probably thinking from bats.
That's
what it's actually made out of. You know, but most of you can't tell the difference. So. Okay. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Right? He's the cause, and then the effect is his energy. So that's why it means he's the efficient cause, and then there's the material cause. Right? The energy is the material cause. It actually gets it done. But he's actually the effectiveness, because it's only because his desire, and that he is potent, it happens. Right, like if you, let's say everyone's in the kitchen, and one's busy with something, and you ask the guy next to you, hey, could you stir the pot? So, if we get into technical, who's stirring the pot? Right, the body's stirring the pot, not the soul, and of the body, just the hand is stirring the pot.
Spoon.
Yeah, and then the spoon is stirring the pot, but we'll say the person stirred the pot, right? Because, therefore, with their involvement, then the energies are applied and it happens. So in the same way is that the Lord affects everything because it's his desire, and then through his energies and all that, his universal energies, things happen. So it's the same way. So you could say, no, it's the spoon, you know? But the point is that who's holding the spoon? Who has the potency by which the spoon works? Because otherwise, the spoon's dead matter. So the Prakriti is dead matter. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole.
So, the energy is not potent, but able to carry the.
No, the potency is potent.
Yes.
But the point is the potency. The. I see. The potentialness of the potency of the potential of the potency is the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So the point is, you could say he's potent, and then there's the facility for accommodating that potency. You know. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In other words, put it into more general terms, is that you have the potent and you have what's fertile.
Yes.
Right? So you have the seed is potent, but the earth is fertile.
Mm-hmm.
So it's able to, accommodate that potency and therefore produce the effect of that potency. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not that it's not the same thing, but you identify one as potency and one as fertility.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. The same example is between guru disciple relationship, but if the guru is bona fide disciple, is able to accept the knowledge from the
Yes, take advantage and all that. Yes. Yeah. You know, it's able to appreciate the smoothness of nicely made Tulsi beads rather than the kind of rough craterness of what we call them? Rudrakshas, yes.
By use of chanting, they get smoother.
No, they just, the outside edges go. You still have the cracks. Yeah. Yeah. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. And so it's all his, it's non-different from him, because it's Brahman platform of him, and he enters it as Paramatma. But he as a person is aloof from that. Because the reason for it is his desire for the elevation of the living entities. Right? But the mechanics of existence and the application of those mechanics into action and results, he's still aloof from that as a person, because those things are just to fulfill his desire. The concept of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. The relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. Right? The seed turns into the tree. Oh, my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage, beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karana Dakshai Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects, although you appear to sleep. This sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. This cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. The total lump of matter is agitated by your potential energy, known as Kala Shakti, and thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Sesha, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. Srila Prabhupada comments. Both the material world and spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. We can understand that material body is caused by the spiritual body and is therefore an expansion of the spiritual body. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized, right? So since the spiritual is the origin, the material being the expansion from that, then if the material is a gauge, it naturally brings it back to the spiritual. Right? Like that. Similarly, in this material world, when Krishna consciousness movement expands, the entire material world becomes spiritualized. As long as we do not realize this, we live in the material world. But when we are fully Krishna conscious, we live not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. Right? So if one understands that, then there's not a problem. Right? It means the material world is consciousness, as we see. Because the whole material world, spiritual, is all the body of the Lord. But because we don't see it connected to the Lord, therefore we don't understand its position. And because of that, then we have this concept of I and mine, so because of that, then we think we're in the material platform. Right? You see? So, the aspect of the living entities about the manifestation of the spiritual world when the Lord performs his pastimes, what is happening in the Tom? Right? The Lord, does he see the material world? No, he just sees himself. And the devotees, do they see the material world? Do they see things separated from the Lord? That's why it's the Dham. Right? Because potency is there. When it's seen in connection with Krishna, that's spiritual potency. When it's seen not in connection with Krishna, that's material potency. So that same potency, the Sarup Shakti, then for the material doesn't have to manifest much. Right? If you want an illusory thing, you don't have to have something of fabulous quality. Right? Does that make sense?
Just enough to trick them.
Yeah, just enough. Like the child is playing with the toys. You know, the car is going along. You know, it goes everywhere. Like that, you know. So it's just, it works. Now, whether it's a cheap car or really, you know, one of those made in Germany, it looks exactly like the thing. You know, the doors open, everything. But the point is it's still material. It's still an illusion. Because even though you can say, oh, no, but the quality of this car is so much better than that cheapo one we know we got down at the boundary wall. Right? But the point is that it's still an illusion. So even though you're on the heavenly planet, and still, can that car do anywhere near what a real car can do? No. So that's the whole point. So when you're an illusion, not much is required to maintain the illusion. So that's why we get here. So it's not that it's not real. The toy car is it exists, but is it actually a car?
That's the whole point. So,
so yeah. So that's the point, is that therefore spiritual is a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of consciousness. If that's understood, then being able to distinguish and understand the position becomes very easy. Right. Someone said? Yeah.
I'm sorry. According to this analogy, it means that if we change our consciousness, the toic are become? Yes.
No, it means we're absorbed in the things. It means you always have to understand as a analogy has
a
limit.
Yeah, but technically, because Gopakrishna Goswami was saying that we don't need to change our bodies in order to become, as soon as we take up devotional service, our body becomes spiritual.
Spiritualized, Prabhupada said.
Yeah.
So that we call spiritualized because it's still external energy, but it functions like internal energy. So it means it's always Brahman. It doesn't change its position of Brahman. But it changes the effect, what kind of Brahman it gives the effect of, internal or external Brahman. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Sometimes with the iron and fire, it's still iron, but it's also fire.
Yes, but it's also fire. Yeah, because the point is why we're giving the example, we just wanted to avoid the issue, but since it didn't get across, then... The point is if the living entity is coming to the material world from the spiritual world, falling from the spiritual world to the material, we see it's just a matter of the consciousness. That's what changes one into the other. So the Dham, then, for someone in proper consciousness, is spiritual. For someone who is not, it's not. But it's not, but that in fact, it's not. Just like it would be... The for the adult who knows the car, then the car reminds them of a real car. But let's say you take that child and put him in the real Mercedes, it's still just a big toy. They run around, jump around the seats, go like this, the thing, push all the buttons and do all the things you really wish they wouldn't do. You know, the windows up, down, 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 up, down. Are we enough of that? Yeah, up, down, up, down, you know, that. So that's the whole thing. It's just constant. It's just a toy. So that's why you don't give them a Mercedes. You give them one of these other ones. I think what it's called, Bruder or something? Bruder. I think they're the company that makes real realistic toys. Okay, so that's the whole point, is that they get something. So depending upon their piety, right, means if they behave nicer, you give them better quality toys. They break everything they get just by looking at it, you give them cheaper toys.
Rock with a hole in it.
Even that's dangerous. You put a string
that's
in it,
true.
And then you know how
it's
many
way, yeah.
how many vases you know no, go yeah. from that. Yeah. David took down Goliath with a rock with a string. You know? Yeah, so you have to think more long term here.
Don't have children.
That's another thing. But that's another alternative approach. You know? Yeah. No, the point is about illusion. So the living entity. Just as the material can be seen on the Brahman platform, so it's transcendental, the spiritual position can be seen, the Brahman can be seen not in connection with the Lord and therefore become material. So this whole thing of how can you fall from the spiritual world, that means one doesn't know the philosophy. Because it's a matter of, it's not about location, it's about consciousness. So one can say, one didn't fall from the spiritual world because one was never there. But by locale, technically you were. But by consciousness, what actually makes the thing, you're not. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, let's say we take a Fabergé egg, mm-hmm. and we hand that to a 3-year-old. What is it? It's just a toy. It has no value what's beyond it. So if it doesn't value, then why you'll give them that? Now, if they're attached to the design, then you just get something simple and just put something on it so it looks a little similar. Right? And then they're good. So that's what the material world is. It just kind of looks like the spiritual world. And it's good enough. So, can you say something?
I was going to say we can go back to Godhead in this very life.
Yes, in this life and in this body. Yeah, so that's the whole, yeah, in this moment. So it's that's the whole thing, is there's no restrictions for the soul and the relationship between the Lord and the soul, because that's the natural position. That is the eternal platform. It's just a matter of how you want to see Brahman. You see Brahman in illusion, so therefore it's material world. Do you see Brahman as Brahman, so you're on the transcendental platform? Do you see as Paramatma, so there's some God consciousness and that, forward thinking? Or do we see Brahman as Bhagavan?
Spiritualized senses.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of what level we see the Lord. You know? That's all. So it's just, because all there is Brahman, it's just a matter of, therefore, how do you perceive Brahman? It's not that we create it, because then we would be thinking, oh, it's just how I see it, so then I'm creating. No, it's how we're allowed to see it, but that's based on desire. So we desire to know the Lord as a person, and we approach the bona fide spiritual master and follow the instructions, then the Lord will reveal himself. So every level of Brahman is still revealed, even on the material platform. How many people can see how it works? Right? People are, it's just like how you say, every day people are walking into their garage. No one comes up. How many come up with a $1 billion business? So that's the whole point, is that the opportunities are there at every moment. Nobody sees it. And when somebody sees it, it's, eureka. So then that's the whole point. The Lord reveals, through the modes of nature. But it's not that once it's revealed, that you go away. What's his name? Da Vinci? Yeah, he already had come up with the concept of helicopters and airplanes and the whole thing. And then it kind of disappeared for like 300-400 years. Like that. So that's the whole thing. It's just the modes of nature. They revealed, it goes away. Or even go farther back. The things he's working on go back to, in Egypt and stuff like that, when they were working on stuff that disappeared in the Dark Ages. And then it comes up in the Renaissance and disappears again, and then comes up, like this. So it's just a matter of the modes of nature make it happen. So the point is what do we want? If we follow the directions given by the Lord properly, with the proper attitude, right? Proper knowledge, proper attitude, proper endeavor, then these things are revealed. Now, since we're going to put in so much effort to learn knowledge and maintain the proper understanding and make the endeavor itself, get the results, use it properly, why not do that in connection with the Lord and get an eternal benefit? Otherwise, people are doing these things, working hard, and then they're gone. Like that. They're gone. So what? Nobody cares. What's the biggest plane in the world, and this and that, and so many different things. But the biggest plane in the world, I think, is sitting in somebody's warehouse. It hasn't been flown since the 40s or 50s.
Flown once.
Yeah. So the whole point, and who even knows that that is? So that's the point. It's all gone. It doesn't matter. It's just whatever's contemporary. That's all.
Okay.
Prahlad Maharaj continued, "From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated. But Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. He could find no trace of you. However, when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen." Srila Prabhupada comments, "Modern scientists have tried to explain the origin of creation by a chunk of theory." Oh, by a chunk theory. Okay. Okay. A chunk theory.
First there was a chunk.
Yeah. First there was a chunk. How big was the chunk?
It's actually small with infinite mass, according to.
But according to physics, how much energy would it require to take unlimited mass and make it into infinitesimal smallness? Because Newton's law, unless it, for it to expand, means it has to contract, because it's always an opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. So that means for it to expand this much means it had to have been compressed. Who did that?
Some talk about the big crunch.
The big crunch. That's the new theory. The big crunch.
And then it collapses, big crunch. And then big bang and big crunch.
Okay, the big crunch, but how come when you crunch that much stuff and the amount of heat that's there, you don't get a diamond?
You're better than a diamond, you get everything.
Okay. The origin of creation by a chunk theory. But no one can explain how such a chunk might have burst. The Vedic literature, yeah, because for it to go in and out means that something has to be powering it. You know, where's the outlet? Where's the plug? You know, so. The Vedic literature, however, explains clearly that the total material energy was agitated by the three modes of material nature because of the glance of the Supreme Lord. In other words, in terms of the chunk theory, the bursting of the chunk was caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, one must accept the Supreme Cause, Lord Vishnu, as the cause of all causes. I wonder how well this would go down. How well this would go down in scientific. It's the only one that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Because that stops the speculation.
Yeah, yeah. True. Prahlad Maharaj continued. Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atma Yoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus, he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Supreme Lord, so in other words, you have earth, but then from earth you can appreciate aroma, though it's subtle. So in the same way as that, you can appreciate the Lord spread through everything, right? Because the point of earth is aroma, right? That's the thing that makes it. So the gross manifestation is earth, but the subtle is aroma. Because actually the earth comes from aroma. In the expansion of the universe, the aroma is first, then there's earth, right? So the Lord is there first, and then there's this manifestation. So, yeah. The Supreme Lord extends everyone, everywhere, even throughout our bodies, because our bodies are made of material energy, which is the Lord's separated energy. One should realize that since the Supreme Lord spreads throughout one's body, and since the individual soul is part of the Supreme Lord, everything is Brahman. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. Right? Prabhupada uses this a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a Mahavakya for others, but it simply explains for us that it's everything's Brahman. So for us, it's not a Mahavakya. It's just a Vakya.
Just a Vakya.
Yes, yes. This realization was achieved by Lord Brahma after he was purified, and it is possible for everyone. When one is completely in knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi, he thinks, I am part of the Supreme Lord. My body is made of his material energy, and therefore I have no separate existence. Yet, although the Supreme Lord is spread everywhere, he is different from me. Right? He is spread everywhere, but he is a person. He is there because this is his energy, so spread everywhere, and we're an energy. So when we see everything connected to the Lord, if I am this energy of the Lord that's spread everywhere, and other potencies of him are spread throughout the body, then you don't see the separate existence. So what's the point of not seeing the separate existence? It means we don't see that using this energy of the Lord for anything other than Krishna's service. That's the whole thing. Because therefore, if there's a non-difference, that means as the Lord always engages everything according to his desire, we should also be using this energy according to his desire. Mm-hmm. Not replace his desire with ours, since we're not the source of this energy. We haven't created the manifestations. We're not maintaining it. We don't destroy it, right? We're not the source of the energies in the first place. So that's why then it has to be, since it's His, it has to be His desire. So when we bring our desire in line with His desire, that then becomes the transcendental platform, right? So that would be the purified oneness, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yet although the Supreme Lord is spread everywhere, He is different from me. This is the philosophy of Chintabheda Tattva, right? So how He's different and non-different, that's Chintabheda Tattva, right? So seeing that I'm in connection with the Lord and all that, then, as I said, that could be purified oneness. Or seeing the uniqueness of that relationship, then special oneness. Or, yes, there's the oneness, there's the difference, but we're always seeing it basically from our position.
Yes. That Paramatma, the oneness and the difference, but not simultaneous.
No, that's Nimbarka.
Yeah, but would it?
No. It could be Bhagavan. Yeah, but they're just not seeing all the aspects. Because see, if you just see one of these or another of these, it's very straightforward and very simple. Mm-hmm. And so the aspect of majesty will always be a touch there.
Yeah.
Because even we're dealing with the Nimbarkis, they're dealing with Vrindavan, but not Braj.
Yeah.
So they're still working with, as I think as Vishwanath says, lower Goloka.
Yeah.
So lower Goloka means you have Braj and then you have Goloka. So since it's all one planet, then the higher part of Goloka is Vrindavan and the lower part of Goloka would be majesty. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means it's a form of Vrindavan in which there's still the element of majesty there.
Mm-hmm.
That specialness, uniqueness. So, but it's predominantly sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it won't have the sweetness of what we have where the majesty just goes. So it's not it's one or it's this. You can look at it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously, two things that are contradictory, that are hard to understand, are put together. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we can say is that our philosophy in principle is very hard to understand, but our explanations are quite simple. Right? What we see is the other sampradayas, especially Madhva and Nimbarka, they use very technical explanations, but their philosophy is actually quite simple. Right? Because they're dealing with the externals of getting caught up by that, therefore they're dealing with very sophisticated intellectual people. They prefer a very intellectual approach. But the philosophy is quite simple. Does that make sense? So that's why sometimes it's thought, oh, we don't have much. No, our philosophy is too difficult for the others to understand. Right? And they can have an appreciation, but it's not how they're going to think. Yeah? An example given in this regard is that the aroma within the earth, is that of the aroma within the earth. In the earth there are aromas and colors, but one cannot see them. Actually, we find that when flowers grow from the earth, they appear with different colors and aromas, which they have certainly gathered from the earth, although in the earth we cannot see them. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by His energy, spreads throughout one's body and so, although we cannot see Him. So just like the earth has all the things, and then when there's a manifestation, we can appreciate. Right? Like that. That's the whole point. Okay. So, end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki,
Samaveta
Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Jaya Gaur.